There are some interesting names still left out there. Matt Schenetti from TSN joins us to discuss. Matt, how are you, my man?
Not too bad. Jason, how are you?
I'm excellent. Of all the remaining free agents, which one do you think is the would be the best deal for a team to sign?
Given what the market has done to American defensive linemen, how could you not look at somebody like Brian Hall right now, who, Ted LaRon's partner in crime? How could you not look at a guy like that who I'm surprised, and I can tell you those close to him are a little surprised. Now we're in day three. He hasn't gotten a bid that he's willing to sink his teeth into. There's a guy who, as well as Ted LaRon played, and you could see how highly the ICATs value him, the fact that Brian Hall is still on the market right now, and he isn't one of those guys looking for an NFL opportunity like the Cleon Langs of the world and Aaron Grimes, as you said. I think Brian Hall would be a very good buy if a team is willing to fork over. I would probably think, given what the market has done right now, maybe in the 125, anywhere between 125, 130 range. I mean, I can imagine when you're in day three, the bidding gets a little tougher, given that you might not have been getting the bite that you might have wanted the first 2 days.
Now, he's not the guy who's trying to explore NFL options. He's just waiting for a phone call to land a contract in the CFL.
Yeah, Brian Hall kind of fits into the guys who've been down south. Brian Hall was on the practice roster of the Baltimore Ravens when they won the Super Bowl, and he played on special teams at certain points throughout that season. And he actually changed it. He was much smaller he was a little thinner when he played. He played linebacker down in the States, and he came up here, put on some size, and played defensive lineman. He kind of falls in the same category as someone like a Justin Hickman, who Hickman had time with the Colts, went down there, tried, went back, tried, got injured after spending a whole year playing in certain sections of the season for the Colts. So he kind of falls in that kind of murky gray area where there are guys who have established CFL reputations, have gone down in the States, maybe have exhausted all their possibilities, and aren't like the Cleon Langs and the Aaron Grimes who are still relatively young in their careers and may be able to exploit some opportunities. We've already seen, Emmanuel Davis also falls in that category too. He's been looking to get a workout, and he couldn't work out the same time Eric Harris did when Eric Harris got a contract with the New Orleans Saints. Emmanuel Davis was supposed to have his. So those are the kind of two categories, the younger players who kind of showed what they could do in the CFL looking for an opportunity down south, and the players who have spent some time in the NFL, have had some kind of success there, but have exhausted their opportunities. They're up here now, and they're really trying to see if they can, I guess, to be blunt, they're trying to see how much money they can still make in the game in Canada.
Yeah, totally makes sense. Matt Schenetti joins us. Canadian players, of course, have value. And this year, there wasn't a lot of offensive linemen, and we didn't see offensive linemen striking it rich by any stretch, which is rather unique, and maybe it's because there wasn't a lot of depth on the market, Matt. But I wonder if teams, just because we're seeing more and more teams have Americans on the offensive line, if the value of Canadian linemen as far as contracts might be changing.
You bring up an excellent point. I think you saw a change in the paradigm, new threshold set at different positions. You look at, we started before the free agency period with someone like Jermaine Gabriel, who is now in the 160 north of 170 range. He is the highest paid safety, Canadian or American, in the league. That's why Mark Way McDaniel took to Twitter and was like, my goodness, I wish I was Canadian. And then you look at what Ted LaRon has done, and to a certain extent, Justin Capicotti, the money he's now making, relative to someone like a Sean Lemon on that defensive line, they're not dissimilar. And then this is just a new, and Shamad Chambers also making what we thought wouldn't be necessarily a free spending or a willing to spend Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Shamad Chambers, coming off a most outstanding Canadian, does go ahead and get what I'm hearing is a good deal from the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. So this was a new year. This was a year where new thresholds were set for Canadians in different skill positions off of that offensive line. And you saw some veteran offensive line pieces being moved around. Jeff Keeping, Josh Bork. I think you can see some positives in that in one respect, seeing Canadians highly valued in other skill positions, but it kind of has a double-edged sword. If you're an American, it's all of a sudden you see in this particular the quality and quantity of Canadians who are in this free agent class, they went ahead and they were able to cash in at the expense of some Americans going back to the Brian Halls and the Justin Hickmans. But in another respect, what does that do going forward next season? A lot of teams now are going to be pushed very close to the cap this year. And there's going to be a lot of Americans, and there's, you know, going to be even some quarterbacks, Zach Caleros chief among them next year. So this is not only the effect that paying Canadians in other positions and skill positions for this year, what kind of effect does it have for Canadians and maybe Americans going forward in the years to come?
Well, the other thing is those short-term contracts, which I understand why some players want to do it to, hey, you know what, I'm going to sign a year here, then a team's going to sign me, and you can go out and try to make the most money every year. Great. The issue with that is if you get injured, then you got nothing.
Yeah, and I think also, too, what you also saw, and this was very, very interesting, of all the contracts, the Trevor Harris one, I mean, that's, you know, relatively short-term for a quarterback, and in a situation that he's in, it's very backloaded. You know, he makes a chunk of his money, or seems to be making a chunk of his money in that second year. You have to be wise now if you're a CFL player. You have to put the most value on yourself. You want to talk about that short-term one-year deal? Look at someone like Chad Owens. Chad Owens now moves from the Toronto Argonauts to the Hamilton Tiger Cats. He puts himself on a one-year deal. Yeah, sure, he does have the reputation, has had some injuries, and is kind of using this one-year deal on both sides, really, are trying to use this one-year deal to see where Owens is, where his body still is, if he still has that. He certainly isn't the 3,000-yard combined yard guy that he was 3-4 years ago. But can he still complement that offense, that special teams that Hamilton has? Can he be a 1-2 punch with Brandon Banks? And really, it's all on him. You know, he took less money to go to Hamilton expressly to have that one-year deal to prove to himself. So the point is well made. If you're on a one-year deal, and it's such an oddity in sports, but in the CFL, if you're on a one-year deal, you have to earn the money. You're putting so much pressure on yourself. There's no pressure on the team because it's a very short-term investment for them.
Which team do you feel has improved the most through free agency?
I will give you a day one perspective and a day two perspective. Day one, we saw the splash overtly great attention on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers for the money they spent just before free agency and obviously on the first day of free agency. Talking to those behind the scenes, what Saskatchewan did on the second day of free agency raised a lot of eyebrows across the league, not only because they brought in guys like Opha Foster and Greg Jones, Justin Capicotti, but because they did that in large part on contracts that were anywhere between $100,000 and $150,000. So they were getting guys in skill positions, depth guys, after letting go of a lot of big contracts and giving themselves still a lot of financial flexibility for all the scouting that John Murphy and Chris Jones are going to go ahead and do. And you heard from those throughout the league, the Saskatchewan Roughriders, even after a short turnaround, again, albeit if Darian Durant does come back healthy after that Achilles injury, you have a team that's all of a sudden put itself in the mix. And you hear in the West, the only two teams you've been hearing, and of course, you don't win a Grey Cup in free agency, you never win a championship, you know, 6-7 months out by acquiring players. You can't always buy yourself a championship, but the two names I'm hearing constantly right now are the Blue Bombers, but certainly what the Rough Riders did in that day too, a lot of people took notice.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how they break down. There are some, I would say, good depth Canadian players left on the market right now, Matthew. And those are the ones that I'm kind of surprised haven't signed with teams. A guy who's not necessarily going to be a starter, Ryan Hines in Edmonton. You've got Neil King out of Hamilton. And the Tiger Cats have lost a lot of starters on their team. And those type of Canadian guys now, I've been told, you know, fielding multiple offers. And it's just a matter of where they choose to go.
Yeah, and I think this also is – given what some of the Canadians, that point we talked about earlier, given what some of the Canadians, the top Canadians, or what was perceived in this class, the top Canadians were able to garner, it does go ahead and put a lot of guys like the Ryan Hines and Neil Kings of the world in kind of a weird place, because they might be forced to take those one-year contracts, sure with relatively good money, but they might have to bet on themselves and really have a tremendous amount of output to convince teams that they're worth a longer commitment. I think it's the nature of what it is. A lot of guys, you know, Ted Laurent and Andrew Harris were seen as the first two dominoes, two Canadians in skilled positions. Once they went, And once a lot of money was committed to them, other teams are just like, well, okay, well, then we're going to go down our list of priorities in terms of Canadians. And then Justin Capicotti, Shamad Chambers were kind of 2A and 3A on that list. It is going to be really interesting to see where some of those ancillary Canadians, and I don't mean that in a disparaging way, but guys who may not have been on the top of the shopping list, where they end up and how much teams are willing to pay for them.
Matt, always good to catch up with you. When you think of Brian Hall, which team do you think is the best fit for him?
You know, Hamilton again and again says that there might be a chance for him, but the fact is I see two possibilities for him. I think he would be tremendous in a Mike Benavides defense. A Mike Benavides defense, which is not at all similar to the way Orlando Steinauer plays his defense. But I would say the three that come to my mind are the Argos, the Ticats, and the Eskimos. And that's just not because I'm on your show. It's because I really do think that he would fit in very well at Mike Benavides' defense. But, you know, talking to his representatives even yesterday, they were not disappointed or surprised. They were, as it's the catchphrase for every agent, we're staying patient. We're staying patient. But you have to think after a couple of days, it's got to be tough on the nerves.
Oh, yeah, I would think so. Well, Matt, great stuff. I know you broke a lot of the signings this week. Good job. We'll keep following you on Twitter and listening on TSN. Thanks for your time.
Take care, Jason.